We are starting our Tennessee Titans training camp positional preview series today with the offensive line and the central question, who will start at right guard? Plus, who makes the roster on the back end? We're diving into all of it today. Let's get to it. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me, as always, the managing editor of TitanSize.com, publisher for NFL Draft on SI, my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, this is it, the first of 10 positional preview episodes we'll be rolling out over the next 2 weeks. Today, we're talking about the offensive line, and we're doing something a little different this year with this annual series. We're posing a central question about every position group. The offensive line one, to me, is a pretty easy question to ask. Who will start at right guard? We're going to answer that question, at least what we think the answer will be. Talk about some of the depth options and who makes the roster on the back end. To start our positional preview series, how you doing today, Justin?
I'm doing well. Excited to get into this positional preview series. Makes sense to start with the offensive line as we head towards training camp, because in all honesty, the right guard position isn't only the biggest question mark on this roster. It's one of the only true training camp battles. I mean, look, you know, wide receiver 6, cornerback 5, of course, you know, linebacker 4. There are other battles on the roster, but none with the stakes of you're going to be a starter, an actual every down starter. Right guard is the only spot on the entire team, in my opinion, that's carrying those sort of stakes. Yeah. And that's why it's the main question today. We'll talk a little about everyone else, of course, on the offensive line, the other starters, the other backups, who's going to make the team. But we have, of course, got to start with Jackson Slater versus Cordell Volson, the battle at right guard that will be happening at training camp. Not a lot decided at OTAs and mini camp. No pads, no contact. Can't really assess the offensive line in those padless practices. So expect that competition to ramp up once training camp rolls around.
And I think the way you framed it there is perfect, because it's the only battle for a starting job, I think, that will be decided in training camp. Like,
yeah,
sure, Cody Barton versus Anthony Hill Jr., I think that that's more of a midseason change. And every other position like that is probably, if there is somebody going to unseat a starter at some point, it probably happens sometime down the line. But this position is for a starting job, and it's not just a starting job. It's not like, oh, who's going to start at defensive end? Is it Jermaine Johnson? No, it's going to be Jermaine Johnson. Is it Femi or Keldrick Falk or Jacob Martin? That guy, whoever doesn't start, is going to play a lot, because they're going to rotate those positions. You said it. Every down starter, the right guard, whoever wins that job, is on the field for every single snap that they're healthy this season. It matters a lot. I think, Justin, everybody wants Jackson Slater to win this job. And when I say everybody, I mean Titans fans. I include the coaching staff and the front office in that group as well. It's a big win for the front office if Jackson Slater wins this job. They're not just going to hand it to him, though. They're not just going to say, well, we drafted you in the 5th round last year, so it's time for you to be the starter so that we look smart. Like, he's got to win the job. He's got to earn the job over a guy who has started a lot of NFL games in Cordell Volson on what was a pretty terrible Bengals offensive line for pretty much his entire time in Cincinnati. Missed last year with an injury, but trying to return to the field this year. I think that the big secret about this position is, as much as we all want Jackson Slater to win it, it is probably leaning Cordell Volson right now before we enter training camp.
I think it's a lot closer than Titans fans want to admit, and maybe I'm making that up, but I think a lot of people are treating this as a foregone conclusion. Oh, it's Jackson Slater. Not so fast, right? Like, yeah. We're under the impression, I know we can't say too much, but they both got a lot of reps at minicamp and OTAs. We'll leave it at that. You talked about Cordell Volson having a lot of experience. He's a 48-game starter, right? Like, 48 games in the NFL. Jackson Slater's played one NFL game, essentially, as an offensive lineman. And that came in Week 18 after Kevin Zeitler went down in a meaningless regular season finale. This is big. I'm with you. I'm sure the front office coaching staff, they'd love to see Slater win this job. And not just to pat themselves on the back, but it would give them a multi-year solution at the position if he wins it, right? Whereas Cordell Volson's on a one-year deal. And sure, you could re-sign him easily enough, I'd imagine. But you'd love to have the sophomore on a cheap 4-year rookie deal win the job, right? So, but as you said, they're not going to hand it. He's got to go out and win it. They're not just going to give it to him. And, you know, Cordell Volson, with all his experience, knowing how to navigate the challenges of an NFL training camp, knowing how to prepare and treat your body. Like, there's so many underrated things that go into this position battle that do give Cordell Volson a bit of an upper hand, at least initially, that it's truly 50-50 in my eyes. I will say, if Jackson Slater does not win this job, not only will I be disappointed, I might think the ship has sailed on him being a future starter. Like, if he can't be that, because as you said, we're talking about Cordell Volson's experience, but it's not like he's been very good, right? So if Jackson Slater does not win this job, where my mind and expectations level is going to go is, okay, he's a good backup. He's a career backup. If he can't beat out Volson, I will refuse. I'm not going to let myself go into year three and saying, well, maybe Jackson Slater wins it this year. No, it's got to be right now. And if he doesn't, and I'm not saying, you know, never say never, I get that. But if he doesn't win it this year, I think the fair expectation has to become he's a career backup.
I totally agree with you. I think that, I mean, you said everything I wanted to say there. If he can't beat this guy out, he's never going to be a quality starter. And that might sound harsh for a guy coming from a small school, only going into his second year, but I mean, Cordell Volson, and PFF grades aren't everything, right? But you look at Cordell Volson's career PFF grades, his career pass blocking grades. 2022 was his best graded season at 52.7.
Ouch.
His last year as a starter, 2024, when he was healthy, 48.4. Now, he's been a better run blocker, 65.6 run blocking grade in that 2024 season.
But
he allowed 6 sacks in 2024, committed 8 penalties, and played fewer snaps than he played in either 2023 or 2022, but allowed more sacks and committed more penalties than he did in either of those two seasons. So this guy is not a quality starter. He is replacement level, maybe even below replacement level. And that's why we think, number one, it's vital that Jackson Slater be good enough to win this job, because otherwise the Titans have a big weakness on their offensive line at the right guard spot. And number two, if Cordell Volson is the starter, then you have to worry about finding a right guard next year, in addition to wondering what you're going to do at left tackle and if J.C. Latham is the guy at right tackle for the future.
Boy.
And on that note, I think we should move off of this position and talk about the rest of the offensive line.
Yeah, I think I'll end by saying this. Like, it sounded harsh, but you're not going to have many opportunities to compete for a starting job with a guy as average as Cordell Volson, to be blunt with you, right? So if you can't beat him out, there's probably aren't many starting caliber guards in the NFL that you can beat out. Moving on to discuss the rest of the line, and that was our central question. So some of these other spots we're going to keep a little shorter before we get into the backups on the next segment.
Let us know what you think the answer to that central question is in the comments below. Don't forget to like this video, subscribe to the channel. Justin, J.C. Latham, I think, is another big question, not because we don't think he's going to start or anything like that, but he is entering his third season at right tackle. This is the year where after which they will decide whether or not to pick up his fifth-year option. They could, in theory, begin to negotiate a contract extension after this season. Mm-hmm. I think J.C. Latham so far has been an average to below average right tackle for the Titans. He's had his moments where he was better than average. He's had his moments where he was worse. He has been affected by injuries. So can he take that step to solidify his place as a franchise right tackle for this team this season? It's a big make or break year for Latham, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a huge make or break year. I think he's got to stay healthy. I think his attitude has got to be in the right place. I think there have been minor questions regarding, you know, him being a Rand Carthon guy versus Mike Borgonzi guy. I thought your assessment was a tad harsh. Maybe it's fair. Maybe I'm too biased. But I would say, like, average to good is where, I mean, you say, you know, of course he's had a bad game here or there, but I think average to good is generally what he's been. But I think we're on a similar wavelength, because I still don't think that's good enough. I want him to be good to great. They took him number 7 overall, top 10 offensive tackle. I expect good to great when I use a top 10 pick on an offensive tackle. He hasn't consistently been that, mostly because he wasn't healthy last year, but that's part of the evaluation, right? You got to be healthy. He already missed mini camp with apparently a minor injury concern. This is a training camp preview. I want him to show up to training camp healthy, ready to go, ready to take that big step. I don't care if he needs to use the contract, the fifth-year option, his motivation, whatever it takes. They need the best version of J.C. Latham this year. They haven't consistently gotten that out of him. Can't say it enough. And we've talked about it a lot, so we won't spend a lot of time. But a huge, huge year looms for J.C. Latham. Probably one that honestly might decide his future with the Tennessee Titans.
I wouldn't even say probably. I would say this year will decide his future unless he gets hurt in training camp, knock on wood, and misses the whole season and you don't have anything to evaluate. This is the year to decide what you do at right tackle going forward. At center, we're pretty sure Austin Schlotman is going to win the job. He's competing with newly signed Andre James and rookie Pat Coogan, drafted in the sixth round.
Not competing with anyone.
Schlotman,
he's not competing with anyone.
Yeah, I think Schlotman is going to win your start. I mean, the coaching staff is still calling it a competition. I think that that is a farce. I think that is a media spun narrative that is not a reality. Austin Schlotman will be your starting center. The question about him is like, is he good enough to be a starting center in the NFL? I think cerebrally, knowing Brian Daboll's offense, being able to help with the protections, having played for Carmen Brasillo last year in New York, is going to help him a lot. And I think that's why he has the leg up as the starter. And I think like a week into training camp, we might get like an actual report either from the coaching staff or from an insider that like, oh, by the way, they're treating Schlotman as the starter, which they have been this whole time. But to us, it's been this competition, which I don't believe in.
I think there's no competition. Like you said, they brought him here for Daboll and Brasillo, and he knows the playbook. The only real question, and they don't have an exit route, right? Like this year, to be honest, is he a good enough on-field player to give them consistent results? He can know all the protections. Can he block post-whistle, right? Once the snap, post-snap. Can he block post-snap, I should say, is going to be the big question on him. We're going to take our one and only break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little Peter Skoronski, Dan Moore, and the back end of the offensive line room.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Welcome back, everybody. Justin at left tackle, Dan Moore, returns for his second season. Getting paid just over $20 million a year to be an average left tackle. Must be a nice life out there. Does Dan Moore solidify himself as a future left tackle for this team, or does he set himself up this season to where the Titans feel like they need to draft highly a left tackle in 2027?
I think Dan Moore has the exact same season in 2026 that he had in 2025, because I think Dan Moore is who he is, and I don't think that's a knock. I think he's an average left tackle, and he'll give them average play once again after giving them average play in 2025. He's not a drive killer very often. I mean, he's going to give up a sack here and there, but I don't think he's a disaster. I'll put it this way. I think they're comfortable with Dan Moore, but if they're still a rebuilding team and they end up winning six games and they've got the ninth pick in the draft, I think their confidence level, where they're picking, will help dictate their confidence level in how much they can replace him. I think if they end up, you know, be, being in a position to get the Texas tackle or the LSU tackle or someone else who's going to emerge this year. I think they cut Dan Moore next offseason and draft a left tackle. But if they're picking 18th overall and Dan Moore gives them the average season, I think they have to be smart and say, hey, I don't know that we're getting a tackle at 18 overall. You know, it's really going to depend. But I think Dan Moore gives them exactly what he gave them last year.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that front. I think the biggest winner of the Myles Garrett trade was Dan Moore, who went from having to face Garrett twice a season, every season when he played for Pittsburgh, had to play him again last year coming to Tennessee. The Titans played the Browns last year. Dan Moore
played
had to play
though.
Myles
well.
Garrett. He did play decently well, but there was a lot. I mean, there was a ton of scheming going
a
into
lot of
slowing
help.
Down Myles
yeah.
Garrett, who still had a sack in that game, by the way. And the Titans play the Browns in Week 7 again this year. But Myles Garrett's been shipped out of town. So Dan Moore, for the first time in his career, will have an entire season where he doesn't have to face Myles Garrett one single time. The final position on the offensive line we haven't talked about, Peter Skoronski. I have no questions about Peter Skoronski. My questions about Peter Skoronski are more like, will he make his first Pro Bowl? Will he have his first All-Pro nod this
when
year?
When are they going to sign him to an extension?
When are they going to sign him to an extension? And will it exceed Tyler Smith's $24 million a year, which is currently the high mark for offensive guards in the NFL? And I think, yeah, he will exceed it. And I think, yeah, he will sign an extension. And I'm praying that he doesn't sign an extension before this podcast comes out, Justin. But if he did, congratulations to him. And if he didn't, he's probably going to sign it before or right after the start of training camp.
Yeah, hint, hint to the audience out there. Yeah, I don't have a question about Peter Skoronski. I mean, like you said, he's the best offensive lineman on this team for sure. He's worth a multi-year commitment, a very expensive, lucrative multi-year commitment from the Titans. And he's going to be the most steady performer on this, maybe on this offense, to be honest with you, this season. And they're lucky to have him, and I wish they had four more Peter Skoronskis, in all honesty, to fill out this line. As we transition to talking about the backups, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. I don't have any expectations, zero, for rookies Pat Coogan or Fernando Carmona this year. Because guess what? Whoever doesn't win the right guard job is probably the primary backup at both guard spots, in my opinion, left and right. And then Pat Coogan, is he even the number two center, or do they keep the veteran Andre James? Like, I don't expect either of these guys to play or contribute. But again, right now, especially if Slater doesn't win the right guard job, they might have question marks at both positions next offseason. So I'd love to see Coogan and Carmona prepare to be next year's Jackson Slater. Compete. Just go into camp competing for a starting job, because they're obviously not doing that this year. But hopefully they've got some solutions for the future in Coogan and Carmona.
Right. You'd hope that those guys can take this year, like a redshirt year, to develop into people who compete to start in 2027. Yeah. I totally agree with you. I don't think either guy will be even second on the depth chart. I think if there's a world to me where Jackson Slater is your backup center and your starting right guard,
maybe.
Right? Like, he could be your backup center and your backup right guard, but he could also be like, they slide him to the left one spot and stick Volson in at right guard if Schlotman were to go down. I actually think that's the most likely situation, because getting day three rookies on the field at on the offensive line is usually a recipe for disaster. Those guys usually don't perform very well as rookies. It is the fastest and best way to learn the position, is to actually get on the field and do it, but it puts your offense in peril. So I think both guys make the roster, and I think both guys take sort of a redshirt year. We've talked about Volson being either a starter or a backup. The other guy that's currently projected by you and me to make this roster, according to the 53-man roster projection we did a couple weeks ago, would be Austin Deculus, signed from, played with the Chargers last year. He's probably the top option for swing tackle right now, barring the addition of a veteran free agent. It's either him or Brendan Crenshaw-Dixon or Ryan Hayes or Emil Wagner as the swing tackles. Also in the room, Drew Moss, Garrett Dellinger, and UDFA Rasheed Miller. So there's a logjam at the back of this position group, but I think it's pretty easy for me to sit here and say Ryan Hayes, Drew Moss, Garrett Dellinger, even the UDFAs, Emil Wagner, Rasheed Miller. Like, thanks for trying. Hopefully you're good enough in training camp to earn a spot on the practice squad. The only guy to me that's like a toss-up is Brandon Crenshaw-Dixon. Does he make the team? Is he another practice squad stash? And does Austin Deculus and Andre James, as the veteran additions to this room, do they even make the roster? We projected they would keep 10 offensive linemen when we did that 53-man projection a couple weeks ago. That might be too many. They might only keep 9. Hell, they might only keep 8 if they feel like the veteran guys that they signed can hold down multiple backup spots at once. I would expect 9, and I still, Justin, as we've said many, 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 many times this summer, still expect an addition at the swing tackle spot here by for a veteran coming in during training camp.
That's how we're going to end this one. I will say Emil Wagner, the only reason I even give him a chance is because of the state of this backup tackle position. I mean, Austin Deculus is the veteran. You and I don't really like him. So maybe we're not giving him enough of a chance. Like, they probably view Austin Deculus as their backup tackle. I think Brandon Crenshaw-Dixon, second-year UDFA, has a really good shot. We know he filled in for J.C. Latham at minicamp at right tackle while Latham was nursing the minor injury. But yeah, I've got such a lack of confidence in the swing tackle spot that they've, in my mind, they not should, they have to add a veteran at this spot before training camp or before training camp is over. I don't care when you do it, before week one, right, is all that matters. You want to give these guys 3 weeks of preseason to show that they could play tackle in this league, yada, yada, whatever. You do what you want to do, but ding me for it, I don't care. But I think they do need a veteran swing tackle that's a better option than they currently have. That's going to do it for our first training camp position preview, starting with the offensive line and the central question, who is going to start at right guard, Jackson Slater or Cordell Volson? Drop your comments below. Which one do you think it'll be? We'll reply in the comments tomorrow and the rest of this week and next week. You could look forward to an episode every single weekday, Monday to Friday, a training camp positional preview with a central question leading the conversation at that specific position. Until you check out tomorrow's training camp preview, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.